Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 19 and just ask that you follow along as I read. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Follow along as I read or in your own Bibles, please. Moses speaking here. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you've come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us, and let them search out the land for us, and bring back word to us by which we should go up, and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well. So I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land, which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God. Let's pray, please. Father, today as we study this your word, my prayer is that you would meet the spiritual need in each one of our lives, whatever that need may be. But especially, God, as we study about this subject of being discouraged and living in fear, help us to understand how faith in you is the answer. So work that way, and then again, as I asked, in every spiritual need in our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. After the door to her small apartment closed in 1949, Marjorie Gulf went out three times in 30 years. She went out once to give some ice cream to a friend who was failing in health. She went out a second time for an operation. The third time she left her apartment for a funeral of one of her family members. But aside from that, she entered her home on her 31st birthday and did not come out again until she was 61 years old. She imprisoned herself for 30 years. She suffered from what is called agoraphobia, fear of open spaces. So she locked herself into her home. Now that's what fear can do. It can imprison us, enslave us to where we do not live the way we should. Now, there are certain things that we're all afraid of. And the word phobia describes people who have an overwhelming or extreme fear of something. Let me give you some examples. Aviophobia is the fear of flying. Acrophobia, fear of heights. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. I saw some of you smile at that when you knew where I was headed. You knew the definition. Musophobia. This is my fear, or one of them. Fear of rodents and mice. Oh, I hate rodents and mice. One of the chores that I had as a kid growing up on the farm was I was to take these two steel buckets and go into the barn, and at the end of the barn, we had a granary on the left side of the aisle. And I had to fill up those buckets with grain and take them out and feed the calves. And as soon as I started to open the door to the barn, I could hear them scurrying in there, mice and rodents. And I was fearful of them. You know, I'd watched the Three Stooges one time, and Curly had one come up his leg pant. You know, I didn't want that to happen to me. And I remember talking to my dad, and I told him, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go in there. I'm afraid of the mice and the rats. And here's what he told me. He said, Kent, before you go in, just take those two steel buckets and bang them together. And do it as you're walking down the aisle, and they'll run. They'll scurry you. You'll never see them. They won't bother you. And you know what? He was right. He was. I did that every time. They could probably hear me banging those buckets a mile away, but that's because of musophobia, fear of mice or rodents. And one of the most common fears today, and some say it's the number one fear on most people today, is nomophobia, which is the fear of losing your phone. I mean, just think of the word for a moment. No mobile phone. Nomophobia. And all those fears can enslave us or change us in some way. But there are also some spiritual fears which disable us. They can overwhelm you, immobilize you, steal your joy, destroy your hope, maybe rob you of sleep at night. Often these spiritual fears keep us from obeying the Word of God, keep us from loving God and loving people. And what are some of them? One can be a fear of witnessing, talking to somebody you do not know, or maybe someone you do know, giving them the gospel. A fear of witnessing. One could be a fear of tithing. You think, if I give 10% of my income to the Lord, there's no way I can make it. And some have a fear of that. Some have a fear of forgiving people, thinking if I forgive them, they're going to take advantage of me, they're going to hurt me even more. Some have a fear of loving people, because if you haven't realized it yet, love is risky. And love is not always returned. And love at times is betrayed. What do we do if we struggle with some of these spiritual fears? Well, we turn to God because He has the answer. In fact, God Himself is the answer. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a disciplined mind. He has not given us a spirit of fear. So I want to study with you today about how fear can be foiled. And fear is foiled when we put our faith in God. And we see that right here in the passage in Deuteronomy 1, verse 19 through 32. Now let me say it again, the context. Moses and the nation of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian slavery by the power of Almighty God. God brought the 10 plagues. Pharaoh let them go. And then Pharaoh changes his mind and comes after him with all of the chariots and the army of Egypt to enslave him again. But God delivers them by dividing the Red Sea. And then they go into the wilderness, and God provides them water when they need it. He provides manna, literally raining down manna from heaven every day of the week except on the Sabbath, and they gathered there enough the last day so that they had plenty on the Sabbath. God provided for them water. He provided for them food. And here in the passage, Moses talks about how there were 12 spies that were sent out to look at the land, to check it out, to look at the cities and the inhabitants. And they came back and they said, it is a good land that the Lord has given us, but we're not going to go in because giants live there. And their fear of those giants kept them from obeying God. Now, two of the 12 spies, named Joshua and Caleb, said, let's go. God has given it to us. God's gift. All we got to do is obey God and go in and take it. But the 10 spies convinced all the rest of the people to be filled with fear, and they refused to go in. They disobeyed God. Now, just a side note here. Out of those 12 spies, how many of you know all of their names? I only know two. Two men who put their faith in God, Joshua and Caleb. The 10 who refused to obey God, praise God, I can't remember their names, but boy, the impact they had on the nation was incredible. And the people would not go up because of fear. So this morning, I would like to study with you two very important points about fear. First of all, we need to understand the problems of fear. The problems of fear. I want to share with you five. The first one is this. Fear disregards God's purposes. Now, God's mandate was clear. Here's the land. Here's my gift to you. Now, go and grab it. And with their greatest hopes and dreams laid out before them, they should have gone forward with joy and obedience. They should have claimed the abundance and the promise that God had promised them. Yet having come so far, having made it through the Red Sea by God's great miracle, and out of Egypt by the plagues, and then through the wilderness with its hunger and thirst, still, after seeing these great works of God, now they would not cross the finish line. They had prevailed over Pharaoh's army, over the high tide of the Red Sea, over the challenge of the journey. And again, it was all through the power of God. But now, they would not take a stand against their final obstacle because of fear. Fear dominated their life. Even though God had said, fear not, the land is before you. They were not accomplishing the purpose of God for them. And when we fear, the same thing happens. We disregard God's purposes. We are those who put away His plan. We don't experience all that He has for us because of fear. And I remember this confronting me in a very real way when my wife and I were able to take a gospel team from our church to help minister to a missionary that we supported by the name of Matthew Recker in New York City. Now, this was a long, long time ago. This was back in 1988. But driving into New York City as a ranch and farm boy from Kansas, I was confronted with fear in some new, dramatic ways. The church that he started was in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue, if you're familiar with that place. And when we drove into Brooklyn on that Saturday afternoon, there were literally people everywhere. There was no place to park. People were doing three-point turnarounds in the middle of the road. The size of the crowd, the closed-in spaces, nowhere to park. And then add on to that something that I saw on most of the buildings, all the buildings it seemed like were three or more stories that we're looking at. And at the top of almost all of them, in fact, at the top of Matthew's, Matthew lived on the second floor. His church was on the first floor, but on the top of these buildings were barbed wire fences around the top. I'd grown up with that. I thought, what's that about? It was to keep people from coming in through the roof to steal your possessions. One time, Matthew and his wife, Debbie, had all their Christmas gifts there on the second floor where they lived, and while they were gone, somebody broke in through the top and stole everything, if you can believe it. And here we are driving into a place like this. Finally, I found a parking place. And I parked. I was so relieved. I turned to those in the van, and I said, let's go. And almost in one voice, they all said, we're not getting out. I thought, what am I going to do now? So I said, okay. I'll go down, and I'll find Matthew. And I got out, and it was several blocks away. I went up, knocked on the door, and I remember he opened the door, and he said, Kent, where is everybody? I said, they won't get out of the van. So finally, we got him out of the van. We got in, brought all our luggage in. And the first thing that he said to us after we got all our luggage in, he said, let's go street witnessing. And immediately that fear just gripped my heart for a moment. Go out there and talk to people about Christ that look dangerous, that we do not know, that might be a threat. But brethren, that was God's plan. That was God's purpose for us in taking the trip to New York to help him minister with the Vacation Bible School and help him in his church ministry. And if we would have stayed in the van all week, and you might say, nobody would have done that, I don't know. But if we would have stayed in the van all week, God's purposes for us and for him would have been stopped that week. We had to conquer fear in order to achieve God's purpose. A second result of fear is this. Fear distorts God's perspective. Verses 27 and 28. Here the people are, and that they're murmuring, they're complaining in their tents. And here's what they said. Because the Lord hated us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Notice what they said. The Lord hates us. He's going to deliver us to our enemies to destroy us. That's what God wants to do. What a perspective. What a perspective. What discouragement. What fear. Their perspective is incredibly distorted. Brethren, God didn't hate them. God had proved that time and again by saving them, bringing them out of Egypt, delivering them from Pharaoh, and on and on. God didn't bring them there to that place to destroy them. He had preserved them in the wilderness. But fear immobilized them because now their whole perspective on what was going on is distorted. And brethren, that's what happened when you and I fear. We come up with crazy conclusions. In fact, that happens most of the time when we sin in any way. Oh, this person thinks that, or this person's going to do that, or oh, this is going to happen. And we go to these crazy conclusions that are unscriptural. God loved them, he didn't hate them. God was not going to destroy them, he was going to bless them. God was not going to give them into the hand of their enemies, he was going to deliver them. But fear distorted God's perspective. A third result of fear is this. It discourages God's people. Verse 28 says, all the people were discouraged. And the word discouraged means to take away courage. It's what it means. Fear causes us to drain away the vitality of the people we care for. And it really is a devastating principle. Fear is contagious. It is catching. And eventually it breeds hysteria. These 10 spies come back filled with fear, and it infected and affected the entire nation. Now, have you ever seen a group of children playing out in the yard? Here they are out there in this group. And suddenly, one kid screams one word like spider or snake. And what do? They disperse and they run every direction they can. Almost all of them. Because of fear. And everybody runs because one person has mentioned one word. Now, often in those groups, you're going to have a Joshua or a Caleb. A kid that doesn't run. In fact, this kid will go up to somebody and he'll say, where's the spider? And somebody from way over here, you know, 20 or 30 yards, will say, just a few feet in front of me. And he goes over there and he looks and he goes, you know? Takes care of it. Or where's the snake? And the same thing happens, and he goes over there, the kid finds a snake, grabs it behind the head, and destroys the snake. You have Joshua and Caleb's, praise God. But for the most part, brethren, when we fear, it affects other people. A fourth result is this. Fear distrusts God's provision. Verse 29 through 32. The underlying root cause of fear is unbelief. That's the basic problem. God had said it was a good land. Even the 10 spies came back and said it was a good land. But they said, there are giants that live there. And God said he would take care of the giants. He would enable them. The problem was, they would not believe God. Again in verse 29, that's what God says. Don't be afraid of them. And again, what a contrast. You have your Joshua and Caleb saying, let's go in, let's obey. God's given us land, and the other 10 spies say, no, we can't do that. We cannot do that. There are giants that live there. Not only that, they live in walled cities. And talk about exaggerations. I should have mentioned this one in the previous point. They are fortified all the way up to heaven. Goodness. All these conclusions that are crazy. and they would not go in. Often, when a new crisis comes, or maybe it's the same crisis, over and over and over again, and it magnifies itself. And instead of looking at the rear view mirror of the work of God previously in our past, we look at what our headlights are on in the future and we freeze in fear. And the Israelites are a testimony to that. There were giants in their headlights, and it blocked out what God had done for them in the past, even mentioned it here in the passage. What he had promised to do and what he did. And now they would not believe his word. Fear, distrust God's provision. But a fifth result of fear is this. Fear disobeys God's proclamation. In verse 26, it says they would not go up because they rebelled against God. They rebelled. This word means they say no. They said no to God. We are not going to go in. They would not obey. So those are the problems of fear. But brethren, all of those can be defeated through faith. So let's understand the principles of faith. First of all, if we're going to have faith in God, if we're going to trust Him, put our confidence in Him, we've got to trust in God's power. 2 Timothy 1:7. I quoted that a while ago. Let me share it again. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And we'll stop right there. But of power. The power of Almighty God. He will enable us. He will energize us. He will help us, heal us, give us hope through His power as we obey the Word of God. That's one of the great things about the Word of God. Obey it and we receive God's power, because He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. So we've got to trust in God's power. And then trust in God's promises. One thing God cannot do, according to Titus chapter 1, is that God cannot lie. That's because He's holy, He's righteous. So brethren, what God has said, He will do. And He's given us many precious promises in His Word. Let me just share a couple with you. Out of Proverbs 29:25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isaiah 41:10, God is speaking. He says, fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Trust the promises of God. Trust the power of God. And fear will be foiled by our faith. And you know, it's interesting, there are some people, because of fear, try to keep themselves from any circumstance where fear will come. Even though, as Christians, we know we're going to be tested, there's somebody to do all they can to stay out of any kind of test of their faith. And I thought about that when I heard about a Canadian family that had feared another world war was coming. So they decided to move to another part of the planet where peace was guaranteed. After months of study, they chose one of the most remote places that they could find on the planet. Now, this was back in 1992, because I share the date because of what happened. You might remember this. But in March of 1992, they moved from Canada to the Falkland Islands, which are some islands off the coast of Argentina that are owned by England or Great Britain. 5 days after they moved there, the country of Argentina invaded those islands, marking the beginning of the Falkland War. So here they go. They find this place where they can find peace. They studied it for months, and they get there. 5 days after they get there, war breaks out. We can't run from circumstances where our faith is tested. We just can't. That's why God says that we've got to stand. Like we sang about today, stand on what? The promises of the Word. Stand on the promises of God, and God will be one who will provide. So we got to trust His power, We got to trust his promises. He cannot lie. He does not lie. He will work through them. And then trust in God's provision, that he will provide whatever you need, financially, emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually, whatever we need in our life. And that brings me to a verse that I think is crucial in understanding how God provides victory over fear. It's found in 1 John 4:18. Listen very carefully. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. God provides victory over fear through his love. It's amazing how many times in the Word of God that he says he loves us. John 3:16 is one. There are many others that talk about the love of God. But it brings me back to 2 Timothy 1:7. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a disciplined mind. When we're struggling with fear, when we're having trouble trusting God in a situation, let me encourage you that all of us would be those who remind ourselves that God loves us and that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. That is absolutely nothing. Romans 8, 38 through 39. He gives a list of things that could happen in our life. And he says that none of these will separate us from his love. And that because of that, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And I can go through that list with you, and I'm not going to do it right now, but I'm going to mention two things in this list, because for me, as I look at that personally, and I'm reminded that God loves me no matter what, I think of how he describes it. Nothing in life or death, nothing that you and I experience in life will ever separate us from the love of God, and not our death will separate us from the love of God if we know Christ as Savior. Nothing. He loves us. And we've got to remember that, because that is what will encourage us when we go through the difficult time. That is what will help us foil fear when our faith is tested. I think that parents and grandparents especially will understand that principle, because we know that little children, often when they wake up in the dark of night, are afraid. I mean, what do you do as parents or grandparents when that happens? Well, you don't rush into the room in the middle of the night in the dark in a thunderstorm and look at them and say, "Be courageous." You go in, you pick them up, you hug them, and you tell them you love them and that everything's going to be okay. That's what God does for us in his word. He loves us, and really he is saying all through this, everything's going to be okay. Right now you might be in a situation you don't understand that brings fear in your life, but everything's going to be okay. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And he does care. He does love. And he is working. So brethren, we can be those who overcome fear with faith. We've looked at what fear will do. It disregards God's purposes, distorts God's perspective, discourages God's people, distrusts God's provision, and disobeys God's proclamation. But the principles of faith are that we are to trust in God's power, trust in God's promises, trust in God's provision, and especially the provision of his love, because it casts out fear. So today, may we be encouraged and strengthened and trust God no matter what we're facing, and foil fear through faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this, your word today. Lord, we all struggle with this. Anxiety, worry, fear, because of situations in our life. But I'm thankful you'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful that through the promises of your word, we can find victory, and that we are more than conquerors through you who love us. May we never forget it and experience your power today. And work, I pray, in the life of everybody here. Lord, there may be somebody fearing because they don't know you as Savior. If that's the case, and I know I didn't preach salvation, but Lord, I pray that they would realize today that you, Lord Jesus, died for them and rose again from the dead so that they can be forgiven and have the promise of heaven in the future. And if they've not trusted you, I pray they would. But for those of us who have trusted you, may we trust you now in whatever our experience. For we pray this in Jesus' name.